Sarah, to your post, woman.
And John, let's order some. Let's do some phones here and see if there's anybody that wants to ask these guys questions. We can take some phone calls, too. Hello, insiders, and welcome to the after-show broadcast that is exclusively for you. Our number is 888-727-BECK if you want to get in on the Scientology debate. We have Sylvia Stannard or Stannard. Is it? I'm sorry, Sylvia. Is it Stannard or Stannard or
Stannard?
Okay. And you are with the church's PR office in Washington D.C. And I appreciate you being so pleasant and being on with us and correcting anything that you feel is incorrect. And we also have David Turetsky on the phone, who is a professor. In Pittsburgh at Carnegie Mellon, and we welcome you, David. Now,
thank you.
We were just talking. It doesn't sound like you guys disagree all that much on what was said. I think, David, you just asked her the question: Would you like to have people treat people who are deemed psychotic and take them to the hospital? And she, I thought, had a reasonable answer. No, not by a psychiatrist, but by a doctor for medical issues.
But that's the problem, is that when you turn someone over to the medical establishment, you don't get to dictate how those doctors treat the patient. Scientology can't stand around the hospital bed and say, she can have vitamins, but she can't have a psychiatric exam. She can't have an antipsychotic medication if the doctor feels it's called for. And it's because of that loss of control that they will not allow psychotic members to be taken to the hospital. And she sort of... sidestepped around that by, in addition to saying hospital, she said, or a quiet place. And this is what they were trying to do with Lisa McPherson. They were isolating her. They kept her locked in this room with the lights off. They wouldn't talk to her. And they were hoping that the quiet would somehow cure her psychosis.
Okay, let her respond.
This is exactly the point of what he called this Lisa clause, which is what he called this thing. There actually is part of the whole evolution and what did we do wrong and what did we do right and how can we handle this in the future, mm-hmm. because it probably will come up at some point in time. Somebody is going to have a problem. And as a result of that, one of the things that was developed was a release form that a person can sign or not sign if they don't want to. And it just says that I don't want psychiatric treatment, I don't want psychiatric drugs, and the church or church members can help me to, if I'm not competent, that they can help me to decide what I should get or shouldn't get. That's what that clause is. And I'll tell you that just about every Scientologist that I've shown it to is like, oh, great, thank you, there's something. It's almost like a living will. They're thrilled to be able to sign.
I would think that if I were a member of Scientology and I didn't believe, and I felt like Tom Cruise, I would want that clause. I would
exactly.
probably have an attorney make that for me, but I would have Tom Cruise's money so I could have an attorney
exactly.
make that bulletproof.
And people are very, very happy to sign that. There's a few people who haven't wanted to, and okay, they don't want to, they don't want to.
Okay, Sylvia, let's respond to David what he said about the quiet place. What exactly is a quiet place?
Well, for instance, if you have a teenager who's really having a rough time and starting to be a little bit psychotic, because ideally you wouldn't wait until they're like full-blown out of their mind before you would do something, you could just take them. For instance, my father has a ranch out in Arizona, and one of my nephews, who is not a Scientologist, had a really rough time as a kid and was autistic and all kinds of things. And he took him out there to his ranch for 2 or 3 weeks where there's a lot of space and a lot of animals and just quiet and no TV and no, you know, staying up late and all this kind of thing. And the kid really, really got a lot better. And then he went back home and got actually into regular school class. He still is a little bit autistic, but he wasn't in special ed. He was in special ed programs, but he wasn't in a special class. And he, just by having not a lot of upsets and just quiet time, he did better, and that helps people. It is something that people can do on their own if somebody's having a rough time, which I'm talking about when they're not, you know what I'm talking about.
Danger.
If somebody's just having a really rough time, you would go on vacation, basically, whether you go on a ship and cruise around and go on one of those princess cruises or whatever. That is some of the best therapy that somebody can have.
Let me ask you this, Sylvia. I got a lot of mail from people, a lot of people from who are Scientologists who said, I want a fair shake on my religion, blah, 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 blah. And, I try to be fair.
Right.
However, when anybody who is not a member of my faith talks about my faith, my defenses are automatically up. And they're like, because I just, I'm nervous about the way people talk about my faith, and they have no idea. So I can understand people being, really concerned about that. But I got a lot of people that wrote me as well that said, these guys are the scariest people I've ever met. I tried to get away from them, and I couldn't get away from them. They wouldn't leave me alone, yada, yada, yada. How do you respond to people who are afraid of you?
I think that's... I haven't ever had anybody say they're afraid of me. I've never had that. If there are some people, it's probably one of a small cadre that David Teresky's got, his kind of little groupies that follow him around and email and call him when he's on.
No, I will tell you that I will tell you that that's a little dismissive here. I don't think that everybody who emailed me, and I got a lot, everybody who emailed me is a fan of David.
It may well be. It may well be there's other people. But if so, they should contact the church. They should contact the public affairs office.
Well, I will tell you that the people who contacted me, that's the last thing they want to do. They have felt that they just cannot, they can't get away from you guys. And the last thing they want is to open up more contact.
Well, they can always contact me. People have contacted me and said, I try to get off the mailing list and I can't get off the mailing list, for instance. And almost always I found out, they're off of our list in D.C., but somehow they got on the list of somebody in L.A. or whatever, and I handle
I'm not
it
talking about
that
I'm,
sort of thing.
No, I'm not talking about mailing lists. Nobody said, hey, I keep getting their literature. I mean, it's not that. It's that somehow or another they feel that once you are in this system, there ain't no getting out.
Well, that's ridiculous because there are plenty of people who have left the church absolutely standing out there saying it helped me. I mean... Jerry Seinfeld did an interview a few years ago where he talked about, hey, I did some courses and it helped me. It was fine. A lot of people have. Russell Crowe just talked about it a month ago that he did some stuff and it wasn't for him and he left the church, but it seemed to help him. There's a lot. There's just millions of people out there who've done one course or two courses or something and it helped them, but they didn't want to do anything further. That's very common, and it's bless them. They can do whatever they want. If it has helped them or it hasn't helped them, if it hasn't helped them, they can leave. If somebody doesn't feel that they can leave, they should absolutely contact the public affairs office, and we will work with them to handle that because they shouldn't have that feeling. And I don't think it's common at all.
All right, let me take and David, feel free to jump in at any time. Let me take some of the phone calls here. Alex in New York. Hello, Alex. Welcome to the program.
Hey, what's going on, Glenn? How are you?
Good.
Hey, I actually live in Los Angeles doing the whole acting thing, and Scientology is all over the place. I just want to know why they want your financial records, your parents' names, where they live, all of your background information.
For what?
For actually trying it out and joining it, or actually trying it out for a couple of days if you're not somebody famous.
No, that's not true.
Well, that actually happened to me.
For... To sign up for a course or to sign up for counseling?
To sign up for a course, to actually go through the Life Museum, to actually sit by, actually listen to a couple of the actors talking about, how Scientology has helped them and their way into the whole acting world.
That's really bizarre. I've never heard of that. I've gone through the Life Museum myself, and there's a little form that asks for your name, address, and phone number so you can be contacted. That's it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't ask for your parents or anything.
Let me ask you this, Alex. Why are the celebrity sections of the church, why do you have special places just for celebrities?
Well, because it gives them an opportunity. Tom Cruise can't walk into the Church of Scientology of D.C., as an example, and not be absolutely mobbed. So the Celebrity Center is set up specially for celebrities, and there's a private entrance, and there's special course rooms where people can't get into that floor except if they have a key and that sort of thing. So they can actually be private and just get counseling or do whatever they want to do without having to be a celebrity and having to handle fans, because you can't be a celebrity and walk through something and just tell people leave me alone. That would then be in the Inquirer and everything else. So
It's, see, I will tell you this, and I don't put myself anywhere near the category of Tom Cruise, but in my faith we have temples and they're very sacred places, and I go through and nobody says anything to me, and I have actually been in the parking lot, and somebody will come out to me afterwards and say, hey, I was in that session with you, and I just want to tell you I'm a big fan, but it just wasn't the place. I mean, you know, I find it hard to believe that if you're in doing sacred work or whatever, that there can't be respect for the individual. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Let's go to Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, I was wondering, at the beginning of the lady interview, at the beginning of her interview,
yeah,
Sylvia, she said that if that experience is right for somebody, it happened to them, and it seemed to imply kind of like a relativistic view of the world.
Yeah, Sylvia, you know, this brings up a question, and David, feel free to jump in here. On the Xenu thing that I brought up, you had a very interesting... very interesting answer that said, if that's what they experience, then it makes it true. You know, if I said to you that I was molested by my father and I experienced that and I remember that, but my father, you know, died before I was born, it doesn't make that true. Your answer to the Xenu thing...
But it makes it true for you. There's something else there, and that would be the kind of thing that is brought up in counseling, because... if you really believe that to be true, and it wasn't, you know, true in the physical universe, but it's still true for you, then there's something else there, and that's
okay. Well, then wait a minute. Hang on just
like
a second.
But Glenn, here's the problem with that. Hubbard used people's memories of past lives as his proof of the immortality of the spirit and the truth of reincarnation. And so, if your past life recall is going to be your evidence, you don't get to turn around and say, oh, well, maybe it's not true, but we're gonna treat it as true for you. Because that calls into question the whole basis of Scientology.
I don't think so at all. Because, well, first off, there has been numerous researches to prove out some of these past lives, and people have remembered certain things and formations, and things have been found.
Where's that research published?
It's a book called Mission into Time.
I've seen Mission into Time. It was Hubbard running around the Mediterranean trying to find stuff he buried in past lives.
Right.
And he never found anything worthwhile.
Oh, yes, he did. It's in the book. There's pictures. He found certain earthworks and ruins of things that had not been discovered previously. That's what we're talking about. But what I'm talking about is we're talking about religion and faith here, too, where a person is saying, I believe this to be true. A minister, part of our theology and the code for a counselor is that they don't invalidate for the person.
Okay,
and
well,
you may as a counselor be thinking this is he's making it up, and it's probably true. But what you do is you keep doing counseling, and then the person themselves will go, wait a minute, that's not true. Oh my gosh, I always thought it was.
Okay, all right. Now that's absolutely fair. So let me ask you this, Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to invalidate anybody,
right?
And what you've said to me, as I understand it, is Xenu and the volcanoes and the brainwashing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What you're saying is if somebody has that experience, then that makes it true and you don't want to invalidate. However, that is an indication that something else is happening with them. And you would bring them to the place to where you would say and see Xenu and the alien thing that just is... You see what I'm saying? And then they would say, oh, I don't know where that came from. Yeah,
well,
you're right.
How am I going to do that for something millions of years ago? I'm talking about something that's more current that you could do that. The point with counseling is it really is what's real for the person and what they have experienced. And the reason we don't talk about it as part of our religious faith is because people do invalidate it and say, oh, that can't be true or this couldn't be true. And the point is it really doesn't matter whether it's true or not, but if it really helps the person, if they feel better and they feel relieved about it, then, you know, why not let them feel relieved about it?
Holy cow, I couldn't disagree with that anymore. I mean, you could have said, Glenn, I'm going to take all your cheese, your skin off with a cheese grater,
I would have
had an easier time agreeing with that. You don't allow people. I mean, if you're really looking for truth and you're really looking to clear people, you don't allow them to live in a fantasy world.
Well, okay, can you prove that Mary was a virgin?
No, and I understand the difference between belief. However, I will say to you, I believe in the Virgin Mary. Uh-huh. You won't come to me and say, I believe in space aliens and Xenu. You won't even discuss that with me.
Right.
And yet they do teach people about Xenu. It's not that Scientologists are individuals coming up with this story, Glenn. They are given the story of Xenu to read, and they're told this is the data that,
is that true?
Discovered.
Sylvia, is that true? Do you give the story of Xenu to people?
There are many... There are millions and millions and millions of words about Scientology. Many different stories.
Please don't give it. Please, let's not play this. I know you're a PR director, and I understand that that's your game, but let's not play the game. It's a yes or no question. Do you give people literature or they're in the millions of words that are written? Do you give them to people to read about Xenu?
There is one thing, and that's what keeps coming back to that, and that's not the point, because there's one thing out of millions and millions of words. That's the point I'm trying to make. And for people to find out about Scientology, they need to read a book or find out what Scientology is, because that is not what Scientology is. That's one 100 millionth of scripture.
That's a pretty big one, but I understand. Let's go to John. Hello, John.
Hello. I'm a Scientologist of many years, and I can attest to its practical value and the fact that it addresses the spiritual side of man and who he is and where he's come from.
Good.
And I think that's where we come to a conflict with Professor Turetsky. You know, Professor Turetsky, I think you ought to be more upfront about what you're a professor of. You're not a professor of philosophy or religion, are you? You study rats' brains, literally rats' brains and rodents' brains and how they relate to artificial intelligence. Isn't that correct?
Hang on. Hold on just a second. Before you answer that, let me just point out, I don't believe he's ever represented himself as a professor of anything, and I just want to also point out that, Sylvia, this seems to be one of those guys that seems to be tagging along and following the story on the Internet, except it's on your side, not on David's side. This is the kind of guy that seems to be wrapped up, because how do you know about David, John?
I took a look at his website.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been looking at David's website?
Well, I don't look at.
I mean, how often? I mean, when did you first stumble onto David?
I'm trying to tell you what I'm saying is that this is a very definite difference of opinion. You know, why would a man? You say why would Professor Turetsky lie about Scientology? Well, it's possible that his view of people is diametrically opposed. L. Ron Hubbard, and I've read a number of his books, L. Ron Hubbard dealt with man to help improve his life, to provide something that's practical, and not just Sylvia Standard, not just John from New York, but lots of people have used these methods to improve their life.
Very, very, very good point. John, David, answer John's question.
I'm a professor of computer science. I've always been a computer scientist. I've never been a professor of religion or even pretended to be one. My research spans several areas: artificial intelligence, computational neuroscience, and robotics.
And rodent brains, yes?
Yes, the computational neuroscience.
John, I don't understand it. Hold on just a second. I don't understand the point with the... I mean, why is it a bad thing to study mice brains?
Nothing at all, except that is not people. People are individuals.
Well, neither are aliens, but that's a different story. John, thank you very much. I appreciate your phone call. Where do you listen to us?
Actually, I'm a member.
You're an insider?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. And where are you calling from?
New York City, New York.
New York City. Well, it's great to have you. How long have you been a member?
Just a couple of days, actually.
A couple of days. Okay, John. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's go to Mike. Hello, Mike. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Yeah, this is Mike. I'm a... flaming freak myself.
Good, thank you.
What I want to know is L. Ron Hubbard, he was in the Navy or the Coast Guard, I forget which.
Navy.
But 1990, the San Diego, I was stationed in San Diego, and the paper out there did a great big expose on L. Ron Hubbard and Scientology. And L. Ron Hubbard, at one time, he was kicked out of the Navy because he had a psychotic break. He took the little minesweeper he was in charge of and went down Mexico and started shelling an island down there.
Sylvia, answer that question.
He was not kicked out of the Navy, but he was relieved of command twice.
Well, hang on, David. Hang on, David. Sylvia, you answer this question, please.
He was never kicked out of the Navy. He was in the Navy, active service throughout World War II. He was wounded in World War II.
He was never wounded.
Yes, he was. I have the medical records that show he was.
They're forgeries.
He had eye problems.
Wait a minute, Sylvia. Hang on just a second. David, you're claiming... Hey, everybody. You're claiming that he forged... Why would he forge medical records, David?
He didn't forge them. The Church of Scientology has...
And what would be the point of forging his medical records?
He's trying to make out that he was a war hero. L. Ron Hubbard never saw action in World War II. He never engaged the enemy. He was never wounded in action. He had ulcers, and he was treated for ulcers in a naval hospital.
I have battle records signed by him on a ship that I found at National Archives.
No, you didn't.
He has...
Well, we're there. I mean, I don't really care. I mean, this is like the John Kerry thing. I don't really care.
Glenn, good point. Can I say one thing, though?
Yes.
Being in the Navy, okay, if
you're
an officer...
Hold on,
Sylvia. I'm going to let you respond here in a second. Okay. Go ahead, Mike.
If you're an officer, I understand this because I was in the Navy. I'm from a military background. Okay, if you get relieved a command... Your military career is over. You are washed up.
So what's your point?
He got relieved of command for a reason.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense. If you are relieved of command...
In World War II, they were desperate for officers.
Okay. All right. Sylvia, you go ahead and have the last word here.
I think the point really is... What we really haven't talked about this whole show is what is Scientology. There's all these accusations, there's all these wild stories, and the point of what is Scientology is people should just find out for themselves and not listen to somebody who has a different view, and Professor Turetsky absolutely has a different view. He believes, for instance, one of his statements is, I'm for postpartum abortion, retroactive abortion, say up to 6 months.
Hang on just a second.
He's
Hold on. David?
Yes?
You are for retroactive abortion up to 6 months?
Oh, of course not. This is part of the libel campaign. She saved the libel for the end, but I told you it was coming.
I can show you the logs.
What logs, Sylvia?
There's a chat group that he belongs to that somebody who was upset with the continuing harping gave us a bunch of...
Okay, wait a minute. Hang on just a second. You are not going to present... You're not seriously presenting a charge like that and basing it on chat rooms?
Yes, that's what he does.
All right, Sylvia, I would never have brought anything onto the air. If David said to me, I have evidence on this because I found it in a chat room, I would have slapped him across the face, and I think it's an insult that you would do that to him. If you want evidence, give evidence.
Okay.
Let's not talk chat room stuff.
All right, good. Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough. The thing is that we're really diametrically opposed, and the point that John was making, I think, is that he really is into studying man as a brain and as an animal, and we're into studying man as a spirit and the religious aspect.
Are you a religious guy?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so are you an atheist? Wait, hang on just a second. Are you an atheist?
I am, yes.
Okay. You're a freak,
brother.
People
should be free to believe whatever they want, but they should not be free to engage in fraud, and Scientology engages in fraud by lying to people about what's at the end of the rainbow that they keep pointing to.
Well, hang on just a second. That sounds like it's coming from an atheist. I will tell you that I believe something at the end of the rainbow is a lot different than what you believe. You believe it's dark. I don't.
Sure, but you don't lie about it, Glenn. I can pull the Book of Mormon out of a hotel room. If I'm in a Marriott hotel, the Book of Mormon is sitting in the side table, and I can read what you believe.
And the What Is Scientology?
You don't lie about it.
And all the other books are available in B. Dalton's or Walden Books.
Yeah, but the good stuff's not. You won't talk about Xenu, and when people try and publish Xenu, you threaten to sue them. You threaten to sue me. You threaten to sue my university.
The Mormons, the Catholics, the Jews, everybody has secret stuff that is not released except to their own members.
How many people have the Jews sued?
Okay. Guys, thank you very much. I appreciate it. It has been very interesting. let people make up their own minds. Sylvia, I appreciate it. David, thank you very much. Best of luck to both of you guys.
Thank you, Glenn.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
I think I hammered David a couple of times, and I hammered her. I mean, that chat room stuff is unbelievable. Unbelievable. If you have to go to...